Good afternoon. Are you doing a hula hoop movement?
I'm intimidated by the idea of the Facebook IPO as a poor human being, a mere mortal.
It just, 100 billion, you can't
just the whole idea, and even trying to work out, you know, how it makes sense. It's like the world of art. Somebody does an installation and it's worth millions within months, and then suddenly you've got something at home that you could actually just throw into a fire because it's meaningless. I don't know. Anyway,
it's quite hard.
I'm overwhelmed. My little head is overwhelmed.
Let's move on from Facebook anyway. Who's got a story? You've got a story about someone who was going to sell their name, haven't you?
Yes. I find this interesting. Whilst Facebook is trying to raise 100 billion, this little guy in New Zealand is trying to raise $5,000. He wants to set up a business. He's a student of media design. His name is Alex James Brown. And he wants to
James Brown.
He wants to set up a business which is kind of online digital media stuff. And he doesn't have enough money. So what he's done is he's put his name out to sell. And anybody, the highest bidder, can come up with a name for him that he will add to his name, and he will use it for the next 10 years. I'm explaining that properly.
What, so like an advertiser?
Well, it's like you go online and you say, I'm going to sell Siobhan Layden.
Yeah.
Siobhan Layden Floyd. I'm going to sell it for $10,000. I will sell my name to you. So you get bidders coming up with names that you will add to your name. And you choose the name that you like best.
Oh my gosh.
And then you add it to your name. And you will use it for 10 years.
Interesting.
But what would that, I mean, what's the benefit of
selling? It's a stunt.
Selling?
It's basically a stunt.
What's the benefit of selling that name? And what is it going to do?
Well, let's say if it was Sareem or Gulf Photo Plus, it would be Mohammed Samji Gulf Photo Plus. So everywhere you went, you'd say your name. Or it'd be Najah Hussein Sareem.
Sareem is Sara and Reem, my daughters. I mean,
yeah.
How am I going to sell their name to someone else?
I don't really know. I mean, I suppose if it was like Gulf Photo Plus, then whenever you use your name, wherever it goes, then it's like advertising. I don't know. Advertising for the people.
What are the benefits?
It is a publicity stunt, and it
grows out of this idea where you you can upload a video on YouTube and kind of get people to donate cash to your cause.
Mm. Well, there was an interesting crowdsourcing.
That's it, the crowdfunding. And it was at the TED Talks.
Yeah.
There was a little guy, an example given of what crowdfunding is.
It's brilliant.
This little boy cracked his tooth. His parents had said to him, do not go out and play that sport. He did it. He came back, cracked tooth. Parents said, we're not fixing it for you. So he did this YouTube video upload of him being incredibly, incredibly funny. And he was looking for $1,500 and he ended up getting $17.
Right.
So he used the money to fix his teeth and the other money he used for charitable causes.
Isn't that fantastic? This is
a stunt along the same lines. This little guy, by the way, is a student. Has got $9,000 of debt being a student. So he wants to drive this business idea that he has. He's entrepreneurial. He doesn't want to go to the bank. They're not going to give him the money. So he's come up with a stunt where he will add a selected name to his name.
It's like people wearing, tattooing something on their head.
Stuff, exactly.
A while back
there was a kind of branding initiative. I don't know who did it. And it was a case of, if you brand our logo on your body, we will dress you for the rest of your life.
I mean, it reminds me of, I mean, people who have horrible names and they get bullied about. I don't know if you've seen Rowan Atkinson's reading the Roll of Honor of for a public school in England.
No.
And some of the, I mean, like James Bottom. I mean, if the guy gets bullied about these names, fine, go and change your name. But if you have decent, acceptable name,
the thing is, this guy might actually say, you know what, the guy who suggested, or the lady who has suggested the word Bottom to be used in my name would call himself Alex James Brown Bottom. He'd do it for 10 years. It would appear on his website, on his business cards.
That would be his name
for 10 years.
Yeah, but this is also on the kind of understanding that he's going to become someone that anyone is actually going to listen to or see his name anywhere. I mean, he could just be a regular Joe. So what would be the point?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, there are people with money to spend. Yeah.
Would you sell your name, Mohammed?
No.
Well...
Oh,
right,
really?
What's in a name, right?
Yeah. What's in a name?
What would you call yourself instead?
I don't know.
I don't know, really. Right, we've got a few more minutes. He's got to jump in with another story. What was one of yours, Najah?
Mentoring. mentoring. I was reading this blog from, which is on the Harvard Business Review, about the four myths of about mentoring. And mentoring, and the article goes on, it talks about defining mentoring, what are the four myths about mentoring. And for me, raising two girls who are about to enter university, you know, mentoring is understood in a way where it is coaching and mentoring through the corporate career and equipping the employee with the best tools and skill set of skills to face the challenges that are confronted through the environment or the business world or you know, beyond the company. But I see it as well as offering guidance for people before deciding what career they want to get into. I think, and because this is a graduation time, and I'm sure it's a dilemma for every parent, we started this process about 9 months ago to understand what our kids wants to study. And I think sometimes parents, we not really qualified because of our excessive emotional input in it. To understand what to listen or to understand and listen to our children, what do they want to do, what do they want to study. I mean, I'm lucky to have a brother who offered me that, and he mentored my daughters to understand one thing, and it's a personal experience. When one of my daughters came back from that session with my brother, she came back, she said, you know, Mom, I'm not embarrassed to say I want to study art and creative direction. I can tell you this is what I want to do.
Wow.
And I think because it's an environment that we want to produce lawyers, doctors, conventional roles, I think we limit our kids, our children, our students of what they want to study. So the understanding of mentoring and the availability of such a thing, it will be brilliant.
I'm so with you. I mean, I wish I had a mentor at those stages. I think mentoring is such a fantastic, fantastic thing. It seems to be, we've been talking about it a little bit, and in fact, we were just talking, so funny, there's so many stories that come out, we were talking about it on the show, and it's something we were thinking about doing on the show, to have this idea of a mentor. I think in any stage of your life, I think to have some kind of a mentor is
but not a mentor for the shoe, although that could help.
Actually, that would be great. Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
Mentor for
just have a conversation with somebody who is a mentor.
And mentoring. Even that is important. I agree with you, Siobhan. I wish I had a mentor, and I share this with Carlo and my close friend. If I'm not regretting whatever, because you know, life is not about regretting what you've done. It makes you what you are today. But had I had that mentor available to me through either, whether it is through my education or through our environment, maybe my choices, maybe my, I don't know how would it affect me, but I think it would definitely gave me another perspective to whatever I wanted to do.
And you know what's interesting, I won't talk about it too much now because it's something that I'm sure we'll launch soon, but talking about a lady who's doing something very similar to this, and will be launched soon, I think, but she was saying she was amazed by the amount of people she'd approached to be mentors, let's say, volunteer mentors, corporates, mainly corporates. She was amazed by the amount of people that said, yeah, I'll do it, I'd love to. I'd love to be part of this.
Yeah.
There's so many people, I think, who are within organisations, etc., who would love to advise and feel that they could be helpful in some way to students, not necessarily even just to students, but to other entrepreneurs who are setting up businesses,
etc. But it can't be for free, according to the article.
Well, I know, I think there could be some kind of a payment. I mean, it's interesting.
Or some kind of a reward, or some kind of a
reciprocal. Yeah, I think, and I do agree, believe in that somehow. I mean, I think and this is completely a bit of a side, but when I did this yoga teacher training course, I mean, there was a lot of that, you know, when you start becoming a yoga teacher, you've got to do a lot for free. And they actually said to us, even though coming from this, you know, this great sort of giving sort of place, you know, they said, don't do it for free. Do it for something else. Just say, okay, I'll teach you. I'd love to teach you. Maybe you can cook me lunch or cook me dinner one day, or... And it's this, I don't know what it is, it's some kind of psychology within human beings that it's better to get something for something or to not to get it for free, because that you can take advantage of it, or it won't, or
you value it less.
Yeah. Because it's, you know, you're using people's time and energy and space.
So
and
I think, we're not necessarily talking monetary values here.
No.
But it could be anything. Okay, what can I do for you? Maybe I can connect you with someone, or I could do something back for you.
Or if you're taking it in a corporate world, if a mentee is speaking to a mentor, to give them another perspective on the company or the organization or even the role role that he's playing.
Exactly.
So it works both ways. But as a service, as a subject, I think it's so important, especially now more than ever.
I
have two daughters who are going to university, and they are facing, they've been hearing for the past 3 years, that
tough times,
recession, yeah, depression, no jobs, unemployment, and they're all asking, am I going to get a job when I finish in 3 years? And I'm like, well, I hope you do very well at you.
Can I ask you, Najat, the your daughter's decisions on their study, the course of study, was it driven by the direction they see their life going in? Are they fulfilling a passion? Or were they influenced by the job market?
I think
what was happening when
I
they were making
a decision? I think it was a combination of a lot. I mean, one of my daughters, she's passionate about drama, and she wanted to be an actress. And I had an option either to say, you know, I don't want you to be an actress, you know, because I don't want her to act. It's just like among a million applicant to be acting.
It's tough. Yeah.
It's tough. Mm. So while I wanted her to excel in drama, and she did, but she made the choice herself, because as she was approaching, and over the past 3 years that happened, she said, you know what? I love drama. I love acting. I'm going to use it to be a lawyer. So because I want.
Well, it is performance.
It is performance, and she wants to perform in a courtroom. I said, well, I'd love to live the day and see that. My other daughter, she is very creative. She's an artist, but she sits and listens to the conversations around, and constantly my mom asks her, until today, she like, what does that mean? What does she want to study? Does she want to draw? Because all I see her is drawing. So Reem had to really actually explain that, but the session that she had with my brother, the mentor, the 2 hours, okay, fine, they had to take Panadol and go and sleep for 3 hours because he just asked them a lot. But she came out with a finding that, you know what, this is what I want to do. But more importantly, I am not embarrassed to say I want to study creative direction, because for a whole year, she wouldn't answer it. I'm not sure. I don't want. Well, that's what she wanted.
It's fascinating.
So now she's telling everybody, I want to study creative art direction in London.
So one has compromised and one is going with her passion fully.
It's a fantastic story. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Najat, and I fully agree with you. I think mentoring is could be something for our next show, who knows, but I think it's wonderful if anyone has a mentor, or perhaps they can even find a mentor. Mohammed, we're gonna have to leave it there as well. I'm just gonna ask you if you ever had a mentor.
No, but, you know, as I just said, I wish I did. And I think that there's something rewarding about being a mentor and, you know, being able to help people who, you know that they have the talent and the kind of drive to succeed, and they just need a bit of direction. And, you know, it's very rewarding to be able to help provide.
To give that. Yeah. It's been absolutely wonderful having both of you on the program today. I think sparked some really interesting conversations, and certainly, I think, touched the minds and the thoughts and opinions of our listeners as well. A big thank you to Najat Hussain, founder and managing director of Serene Consultancy. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
And of course to Mohammed Somji of Gulf Photo Plus. A very big thanks to you as well.
Thank you both.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Nice meeting you.
You too.
So we're going to go to the news headlines, but we've got more to come on the programme. We're going to be talking, in fact, up next in our entrepreneur slot to Payal Patel, who is the co-founder and business development manager at Fashlink.com. Be interesting to see if she has a mentor or not.